The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here with Jess of Jess and Natasha. They started Jesse Clean in November 2018 in Indianapolis, Indiana. They're a woman-owned company. For those of you joining us on video, you can see Jess, clearly a woman. I can only assume Natasha, also a woman, but I can't verify. I haven't seen her. So I'm just going with the name and Jess's outrageous claims. They serve and empower women through residential cleaning. Jess, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So we're recording this 2021. So it sounds like you've got 3 years, give or take, in. How did you and Natasha meet? How did you go from whatever your regular lives were to this kind of nonsense? Give us a little background.
Sure. So she and I have been best friends for over 25 years. In 2018, life kind of hit me hard, and Natasha as well. We both lost big girl jobs, our careers in sales. I had a sick father and a sick kid and couldn't keep my numbers up with trying to take care of life. And she's a single mom and lost her job. So I used to clean in college for drinking money. Let's be real. I thought, hey, let me put out there, see if anyone could use some help around the neighborhood. I'll do this for a month or two until I get back on my feet. And she decided to pursue her dream and go back to school. So she joined me on evenings and weekends. And it's just kind of taken off from there.
Beautiful. I love that story. I think my favorite part is a lot of people would have externalized, right? Oh, it's my company didn't support me when I needed help. And who could deal with a sick dad and a sick kid? And the world's coming apart. And it's not my fault. I love that you're like, well, that's my situation I find myself in today. So how can I respond to have the life that I want and do what I be who I need to be for my family? And that's big girl stuff. There's a lot of people just would crumble up and kind of shirk their responsibility or go, maybe the government will fix it. Or maybe someone, you know, who someone else other than me. I love it. You're like, nope, there is me and the lady in the mirror. And that's it. We're going to get to work and make this happen.
We definitely had to swallow some humble pie because both of us have degrees and over 20 years of corporate experience. And, you know, now we're cleaning toilets and it was humbling, but a great experience.
Most humbling experiences at the time, not great. In retrospect, great or good at the very minimum, if not great. So right. Are you guys still cleaning, doing some of the cleaning, all the cleaning, none of the cleaning?
For the most part, we're up to about 12 ladies right now, including ourselves. So we're focusing more on working on our business rather than in it. So we handle most of the administrative stuff while our team goes out and does the hard work.
Right, I heard 12 employees or 12 cleaners plus us. Are you still doing some of the cleaning?
With us, there are 12. So right, fill in out of necessity. We hire a lot of single moms. So, you know, kids sick, something comes up. If we need to tag in, we're not above doing it every now and again.
All right. Well, if we end up working together, you will be above doing that now and again. Okay. I'll yell at you about that later. That's okay. Not the question you had. So what question do you have? How can I support you and Natasha today?
Well, we're unique. We have a unique structure in that we have two business partners. She and I are equal partners. She and I are both very passionate about making a difference in our community and creating opportunities for women to have a work-life balance and still make a decent living wage. Our ladies average between 18 and 26 an hour with gratuities. We're even with a 40 or 50% profit margin with the supplies and marketing and systems that we use, we're barely making more than our girls. Mm-hmm. So we're struggling and need to know, you know, how can we continue to pay well, make a difference in our community, but also not struggle ourselves?
That's a great question. And pieces of that have been asked at different times in different podcasts, but I think that's the first time you've kind of have all three or four of those little chunks together. So I love that situation. I'm confident we'll be able to help you too, but dozens, if not hundreds of other listeners that are in a similar situation can take a piece. So I thank you for that question. I love it. Don't love that you're there, but I love that we're going to be able to help you and everyone else get where you want to go.
Thank you.
So there's really two parts to it. I'm hearing words like decent wage, living wage, pay well. I'm going to
encourage you to consider a reframe around that. So part of it's going to be business. That's like, this is just math and it's not really my opinion. It's just how it is. Part of it's going to be my opinion, having built businesses over the last 25 years, coached and all that sort of stuff. So this first part's going to be opinion. Then I'm going to kind of get into, I hate to say fact, but just like math, right? It's like, you can disagree with me, but 2 + 2 is going to equal 4, whether we, regardless of our feelings. So this part,
math's not my strong suit. So give it to me.
Luckily it'll be easy math, but let me start with kind of my philosophy, which would be, again, opinion, right? So you can take the parts that you leave. And again, it's pretty experienced opinion. I do this a lot. We've helped thousands of owners, but it's still, there are other ways to skin that cat. So in my humble opinion, because a lot of people, and I did this when I had my cleaning company, right? You know, we know how hard it is to, and I wasn't even on the mission that you were in to like serve women. So I didn't have that underlying key, right? Which is important, by the way. We are on a mission to serve owners of cleaning companies. So please don't hear me diminishing that mission. I'm all for your mission. I think it's really important to just not clean toilets, right? To be like, no, we're doing something big. The way we get about that, I might just give a different potential reality. You can take it or not.
Sure.
So I used to be the same way. Oh my gosh, it's so hard to hire people that are good. And then you get someone that's good. You're like, oh my gosh, I want to make them a supervisor and kind of give them extra responsibility and money, because we're entrepreneurial and we think they're going to be entrepreneurial. But 9 times out of 8, that's just not the case. Right. So as I got older, I realized, man, in the cleaning business, oftentimes the people that are cleaners are not going to be good other things, right? They're good at cleaners. That doesn't mean they'd be a good salesperson or a good accountant or a good manager of cleaners. It's just not that it can never work. It's just generally not that it. The second thing I realized is I believe we pay people. I'm a super capitalist, right? I believe we should give value, and you know, there should be no gun of the government saying you got to do this and I got to do that. If you and I agree to it and I'm not putting force on you or threatening you or anything, you think it's a good deal and I think it's a good deal, we should be able to make that deal. So I believe that we can only pay what stuff's worth. And
absolutely,
if you wanted me to come coach you for a couple of days, I don't know, I don't really do that on site, but say I did and I charge you $30,000. And we got there and you're like, all right, Mike, we got to get to, you know, someone called out, you and me got to start cleaning. I'd be like, did your check clear? Yeah, check cleared. Okay, let's clean. And if the whole time we're there, we cleaned, you might've paid me $30,000, but the value I would have brought would be the same 10, 15 bucks, depending on your area. Indiana, I'm guessing it's closer to 12, 13 bucks, 11, 12 bucks, something like that. So I believe artificially paying women more than the value they're bringing is not going to help them. So if other, and I'm pretty familiar with your area, we've got clients all over the world. I think that's above market value. So you said 18 bucks. If I had to guess, I'd have to look into it, but I'm guessing it's closer to 12. So that just puts you at a disadvantage. My goal would be to go, I'm not looking to pay a living wage because this isn't a living job, right? When I worked at McDonald's or Carl's Jr. or wherever, when I was a kid, I got paid $2 an hour, $3 an hour. That wasn't a living wage. It wasn't supposed to be. I didn't have any skills to offer the world, right? So the goal wasn't to live and raise a family at McDonald's mopping up. Like, the goal was to add skills and go to college or just add skills and then bring more value and get paid more. So I personally wouldn't run a company. I like paying above, you know, like 10% above. So if everyone's making 12, I might pay 13. And then I love being able to give it an opportunity to make even more than that based on performance. Like, oh my gosh, you show up every time on time. You've got a great attitude. You get nothing but positive feedback. You do all your jobs on time. Like, I'll pay extra for that. But just arbitrarily going, we're going to pay 18 bucks an hour because that's a living wage, which it may be. I'm not saying anyone can live on 12 bucks an hour. I'm saying someone that's trying to raise a family probably shouldn't be a cleaner for their job. There's moms that could say, I just want to get out of the house. I just need a community to be with. I need extra money. My favorite, I had a commercial cleaning, not residential. So I had more men. You might have more ladies. My favorite employees or team members were guys that had, you know, made 40, 50 grand a year during the day, but they wanted to take their kids and their family. You know, maybe they were from a different country. They want to take them there for a nice 3-week vacation. And this gave them that opportunity. So, again, you don't have to do that. I'm not saying it won't work. I'm just saying my thing would be, I'd shift my goal from paying all of my people a living wage to paying my people a little above what the market value of their thing is and giving them availability to make a little above that, depending. And if they can't live on that, that's okay, right? If that means your job isn't a great fit for women who are like, I have to pay all of my bills with this job. And you're like, you need a different job, lady. Like, even at 18 bucks an hour, they're probably not going to be able to work 40 hours a week, especially a single mom. It's just the math doesn't work. So I would just give you another opportunity or another way to look at it, another potentiality of, we can still money that is not a living wage can still bring a crap ton of value to people's lives. It can still serve them. It can still help them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And the last thing I said on that, and then we'll get to the math of it, is the best way. And I heard a pastor preach this before, and I'm like, it's been 20 years. I still forgot it. Best way to help the poor is not to be the poor. So if you want to serve women, there's a lot of ways you can serve women. I promise you, you've got a $5 million company making $2 million bucks in profit. I promise you can do a crap ton of help for ladies. But if you're a rinky dink little thing that can never grow because your model don't work, but you employ 10 women at slightly above, you know, no offense, 18 bucks an hour, they're not gonna retire on that either. So right. You see what I'm saying? So I wouldn't kill my scalable model to help these 10 women. I'm like, I want to help thousands of women. And that's going to take growing a real company. And at a 12 person company, there's room for you and your partner and 10 cleaners. There really is no room to hire women that might be able to make a real living wage because the business isn't that big and it's going to get stuck because of that. So I would just kind of back up all the way and kind of take a 30,000 foot view and go, how are we going to serve ladies? How are we going to serve women? Does that make sense?
It's a great point. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So again, that's the opinion part. You can take the part you like and call me not here on the podcast. Come on, have some respect, but you know, in your spare time in private, you know, say the other parts are stupid. Now let's get to the money part. Okay. The good news is you said something that was key. I don't think it's scalable, but it's a great indicator of where you're at. We coach a 50% cost of goods sold. So if you're able to get a premium for your business where you're like, I'm paying 18 bucks an hour and still having a 50% cost of goods sold, I personally would take that money and divvy it up between profit for the owners. And again, we give a lot of money away. Not my company. My company doesn't give any money away because it's a freaking for-profit endeavor and it's going to do the best it can to make the most profit. Mike and Natalie Campion, the owners, get paid very well from that. We give a ton away. So I'm happy doing that in my personal life. We to church and to whatever. Like, again, if you wanted me to fly out for 2 days, it maybe be 30 grand. We go on mission trips for 2 days. We don't give it anything. We do.
Right. I see what you're saying. Free.
So in our personal life, we're able to be generous because our business creates the time and money for we're able to do that. But we don't get confused as to who does what. Mike and Natalie can be absolutely not for profit. The business needs to make a daggone profit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. So the 50% cost of goods sold, I personally would be like, I'm going to take 10% of that and blow my customers' socks off, right? They're paying a premium. So I'm going to give them crazy premium service. We're like, holy heck, this is better. And the other 10% I'm going to take to, the other part of that that's available, I'm going to take to make more money. I'm going to be more profitable. And I might probably would choose to give a lot of that away in my personal life, but I'm going to do it through my personal thing. So that said, the 50-30-20 rule typically says you got a half 50% for your cost of goods sold. And 30% for your overhead, which is plenty to do things like advertising, uniforms, professional development, both for you and your team. That's how I would invest in my people, by the way, giving them money, investing in their development, training, helping them get more skills. I'm all up in that business altogether. So that would be the 30% and that leaves 20%. So I don't know what your numbers are. We don't need to talk about them. Let's just use 10 grand in revenue because it's a pretty round number that people can identify with. Believe it or not, if you're doing a clean, healthy business, doing 10 grand a month, well, 5,000 that goes to cleaners, should not be owners, by the way. So that means you guys are doing no cleaning. 3 grand of that a month goes to overhead and marketing and insurance and telephones and vehicle, whatever, not vehicles. I don't coach vehicles, but whatever else non-cost of goods sold, that only leaves you 2 grand. You know, I can't live. There's two of us. I can't live with 1,000 each. Right. You're absolutely daggum right. You can't. That's why you have to scale. Now we get a $50,000 a month business. That's a different kettle of fish. Now we get 25 in cost of goods sold, 15 in overhead, $10,000 for the partners to split. You're not going to get rich off of that, but now you've got an asset that is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars and you're making 5 grand a month and you have a business that you're not cleaning or doing anything. It's going to be very hard to scale at that if you're paying your people 18 bucks an hour. Because you found some people are like, I'm willing to pay that premium. But if you're like, I want to scale, at some point competition is going to come in and go, we pay our people 12. And what we would coach you to do is give value versus with community and core values and like, oh my gosh, this is a place I want to spend time and acknowledgement and just really building them up as ladies. Like we talked about professional development, helping them get out of debt, helping them get school. There's all sorts of ways within that 30% you can really serve them and still pay them 12 bucks an hour. And tell them, you're right, 12 bucks ain't a living wage. I don't want you living here the rest of your life. This is a cleaner. It's a great, same with McDonald's. No shame in McDonald's. We all worked at McDonald's or something like that. There's no shame in it. But if you're 40 and doing it, no offense, if we got a listener out there, something's wrong. We got to fix it, right? I wouldn't, if someone came to me and said, I'm working at McDonald's. I'm a shift supervisor. I went from 12 bucks to 13 bucks, you know, and those sons of guns, they won't pay me enough. I'm like, get some skills, go do something else, man. Run the McDonald's. You've been there 20 years, run the thing by now. Let's go. So be okay telling your ladies, you know, I don't want cleaners being there for 5 years. I want to be there for a year or two and then leave better when they came, right? They're smarter. They get more talent. That's the way I'm going to serve my team. Gotcha. And trust me, the $12, the $18 an hour, I mean, one's not like, oh, I'm retired. I'm investing in, you know, stocks and bonds and, you know, and fine art. And the other one's like, well, I'm just, it doesn't make a big difference other than it's going to kill your scalability. Questions, comments, or remarks?
No, good stuff. Keep going.
that's pretty much it. So there's the good news is, if you're making a 20% profit, which you should be if you've got a 50% cost of goods sold, and that profit's not enough, a lot of people are like, oh, I'll try and maybe my business model must be broke because I'm only making $2,000 off of $10,000. It's like, well, especially ones that have cleaned. So say you and Natasha were cleaning and you made the two of you $7,000 together, you might keep six, right? So like, oh my gosh, once we make 15 grand, we'll keep 13. It's like, no, that's not how it works because you're moving from a job cleaning to a business where you pay other people. So that transition to business, sometimes we miss like, oh, that's a different kettle of fish. So if you're making 20% or more, not just Jess, but Cleaning Nation, and you don't spend your time like, I'm not making enough money. I should be making more margin. You shouldn't. It really, that's what it costs to run a business effectively. Certainly if you're going to scale. Do you need marketing? No, you can cancel it. Good luck scaling. Do you need to invest in your people? No. Good luck keeping good people. Like, you don't have to do all that. Do you need insurance? No. 99 months out of 100, insurance is a waste of money. But that 1 month, by golly, you're pretty glad you have it. So that would be my big thing. If you're at a 20% profit margin, and it's not enough to pay the two of you, we just got to increase revenue. And that would be a different conversation for a different time. But if you're charging 50% or paying 50% above what other people are paying for your cost of goods sold, right? I had a car dealership. If you're buying cars to sell for 10 grand and I'm paying 15, how am I supposed to compete? I might be able to for one or two cars, but I'm never going to scale it, right? I'll never be anything big because I can't. So that would be my big thing is really look at, here's the money we need to make, multiply together, right? So whatever y'all need to make, you know, say it's 10 grand a month, you need to multiply that. If it's five each, 10 grand a month, multiply that times five. You're like, okay, we need $50,000.
In business. I got it.
You'll be able to scale to that paying 50% over for your labor than your competitors are paying for theirs.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. We definitely made more when we were cleaning than we do now with our current model because we're so invested in taking care of our ladies.
Well, because you had a job. So
it's paying into our profits.
Well, but you also had a job. So if I went to clean from you, I get to, aside from the government, you know, getting their paws in there, I get to keep it 100%. You know, maybe I have to buy a pair of shoes or a shirt, you know, very little expense, but I'm going to keep 98% of what I do. So when you were cleaning, you got to keep 98%. The problem is if I stop cleaning, I stop getting paid. So that's what's called a JOB, not a business, right?
Right.
So when you're like, and you were capped out. No matter how hard you worked, if you gave up sleeping and eating and just cleaned and worked all day, depending on the area of town and how creative you are, you might make 5 grand a month and you're working 80 hours a week because you got to clean for 50 and then you got to manage your business for 20.
Right.
You're capped. You're never going to make 10 grand a month ever. It clean, right. Unless you're doing it for the king of Sudan or some weird thing that we're not privy to. You're going to take a dip going from owner to, so if I went to Walmart and I was making $12 an hour and I'm like, what if I paid you $10 an hour to do that same job? Well, now I make $2 an hour, but I'm completely free. I don't have to do anything. So now I'm like, well, what if I got 10 jobs at Walmart? And you see what I'm saying? Now it starts to become a business. So be okay with, yes, my margins are going to go down when I go from job to business. But when you worked for whatever your place is, they made a lot more than you did and you were an expense, but you got to keep all of your expense. So now you're putting yourself in that situation. So you're taking that cap of that 5 grand a month or whatever it is, working 80 hours a week till you drop dead. And God forbid you take a vacation, your pay goes to zero, right? You don't work anymore paid. You're giving that up for, instead of keeping 90% or 80% or 95%, I'm keeping 20%, but I don't have to stop at hiring 10. I can hire 1,000. And when I go on vacation, my pay isn't affected at all. Or if I get sick or have to take care of my family, my pay isn't affected at all because I have systems and processes running. So we're really transitioning from job. And it's weird to expect, well, of course I keep all my money from a job. And we go to a business, we have to go, no, I don't keep all my money because it's a business. Right. I've got other people. So, all right. You feel like you got a good launching pad?
Yeah. Definitely a shift there about there's other ways to invest in, you know, your team and add value versus just, hey, here's your flat, you know, $20 an hour plus tips. So I hadn't thought about it that way. So I appreciate that insight.
Cool. It's always what we want to do. And again, since we've done this over and over and over again, we get to see the different angles and kind of see what works and what scales and what doesn't. And I just didn't want you to go down a road that you can work as hard as you want at. And it's just going to be, I don't say impossible, but really, really difficult to scale. All right, Cleaning Nation, if this is for you, you're like, holy heck, I like this. I want more. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com, www.growmycleaningcompany.com. We have podcasts. We have free on-demand training. It's amazing. It's like 40 minutes. We've got a Facebook group. I don't even think there's anything for sale. So go to growmycleaningcompany.com. Check out what we got. I will see you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.